إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 11th session, dealing with the topic of Iman, faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, based upon a chapter from the book of Al-Allama Hafiz ibn Ahmed ibn Ali al-Hakami, rahimahullah, which he entitled Alam al-Sunnah al-Manshura, Al-I'tiqad al-Taifa al-Naji al-Mansura. And this chapter, we have been discussing from it the meaning of Iman, and especially Iman in Allah, having faith in Allah and what it entails of affirming, acknowledging the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Tawheed in the various aspects of Tawheed, Al-Ilahiyya, Al-Rububiyya, and Asma' wa Sifat. In the last few weeks, we have been focusing on this final aspect of Tawheed, that is the Tawheed of the beautiful names of Allah and His lofty qualities or characteristics, the Asma of Allah and His Sifat. And tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we'd like to deal with two topics based upon two questions from this chapter, question number 63 and question number 64. Before we deal with those two topics, we'd like to review quickly on what we discussed in the previous session, based upon question number 61 and question number 62, and that is examples of Sifat al-Af'al from the Qur'an and examples of Sifat al-Af'al from the Sunnah. And just as a reminder, we said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has Sifat which are affirmed for Him, yani Sifat Thubutiyya and Sifat that are negated from Him, as-sifat as-salbiyya. And from the sifat that are confirmed for Him, we said that there are two types. And that's what we have been talking about for the past few classes. That is the sifat al-dhatiyya, the sifat that are related to Allah's divine being, to His person, to Himself. And the sifat al-fi'liyya, the sifat that are related to Allah's actions, yani sifat that are connected to what Allah does based upon His will. Those sifat which are connected to His will, His Mashiach, we say these are the sifat al-fi'liyya, that Allah does whenever He wills, His actions. As far as those sifat which are inseparable from Him, that He's always described with and always was described with, we said these are the sifat al-dhatiyya, the sifat related to His divine being. They're inseparable from Him, not related to His will, rather He's always described with them. So we have been talking about, finally, as-sifat al-fi'liyya, and we discussed last week examples of as-sifat al-fi'liyya, the sifat of Allah's actions, characteristics or descriptions of Allah's actions from the Qur'an and from the Sunnah. And those are the last two questions that we took. And tonight, just quickly, we want to review some of that by, number one, asking for some examples of Allah's sifat, as-sifat al-fi'liyya, some examples of Allah's characteristics of actions, okay, from the Qur'an. And most of what the Shaykh mentioned, the examples of sifat al-fi'liyya from the Qur'an, he also mentioned similar sifat from the Sunnah, pretty much the same. Okay, so somebody give me one example of one of Allah's sifat al-fi'liyya. Naam, Farb. Surah 65, ayah 12. And what sifa does it mention? Tayyib. And can somebody help us from the ayah that he just read? Which sifa is confirmed in this ayah? Huh? Creating. Now, that Allah created the seven heavens and from the earth the like of it also. Now, creation, al-khalq. That from Allah's sifat, al-fi'liyah, is that He creates. Now, another one. Another sifa of Allah, na'am, of His actions.
Surah Al-Baqarah 210.
Now. قضي الأمر
وإلى الله ترجع الأمور.
نعم. And which sifa is confirmed in this ayah? Who can help us? Which sifa is mentioned in this ayah? نعم. Which sifa? Coming, Allah is coming. هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهِ يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهِ يَأْتِي إِتْيَان. Allah is coming. This is the sifa that's confirmed. Are they waiting for anything except Allah is coming? And for the judgment? To decide between the people? To take account? To reward and punish? يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهِ الْإِتْيَان. That Allah will come. This is the sifa of Allah, of His actions, that He will come. When He wills. Now, another sifa from Allah. Another sifa. نعم. ثم استوى إلى السماء. نعم. And which sifa is confirmed in this? الاستواء. And what is الاستواء?
It has different meanings.
What does the Shaykh intend to confirm here? He intends. نعم. إلى. Most of the scholars said that the meaning of istiwa depends on the preposition that's used with it. Naam. And the ilah here, normally, most of them said it means al-qasid. But the shaykh, he intended by this, al-ulu, wal-irtifa. He intended by istiwa here, the meaning that is normally mentioned by the scholars of sunnah when they talk about aqidah. He intended by this ayat, even though it's the preposition ilah is used, he really intended by it, al-ulu. Yani the istiwa, that means that Allah is high, that Allah is lofty, that He is above the throne. Naam. He ascended to the heavens. Naam. Even though, naam, you're correct, that because the preposition ilah is used here, not ala, so probably most of the scholars said that the meaning here is al-qasid. Yani that He went to the heavens with the intention of creating the heavens after He created the earth. Naam. But He intended al-ulu, al-irtifa, al-sa'ud. Naam. Another sifa that the Shaykh mentioned from the Quran. Naam. Zumar. Now.
Ayah 67.
Zumar is what surah? Number?
34.
39. Ayah? 67. Now. And what sifa?
They didn't give Allah His just due.
What? The earth will be in His grip. Al-Qabd. Naam. Al-Qabd. Yani the sifa of what? Of gripping or grasping. Naam. That Allah will grip the earth. نعم ما قدر الله حق قدره والأرض جميعا قبضته. The whole earth will be in His grip. نعم. What other? What sifa did the Shaykh mention besides this? Which other sifa? نعم.
تجلن.
نعم. Which means what? What does this mean?
To appear.
يعني Allah will manifest Himself. He will appear. He appeared. نعم. Surah Al-A'raf. 7th Surah.
Ayah 143.
الجبلي
دقة
جعله دكا جعله دكا نعم
وقرر
موسى صاعقة نعم what does this mean what does the meaning of this ayah when Allah appeared before the mountain he caused it to crumble نعم and Musa fell down unconscious نعم تجلن that Allah appears he appeared before the mountain نعم any other sifa I think there's one or two more نعم موسى Naam, 22:18, Surah Al-Hajj. Inna Allah yaf'alu ma yurid. Naam, what is the sifa here? Allah does what He wills. Yaf'alu ma yurid. Allah does whatever He wills. Naam. Is there anything else? Was there any other sifa? Naam. وَكَتَبْنَا لَهُ فِي الْأَرْوَاحِ Naam. And which sifa? Al-Kitaba. That Allah writes. He wrote in the Alwah, in the tablets that He gave to Musa. Naam. And in the Sunnah, the Shaykh mentioned concerning this what? What did Allah write? In the Sunnah, what did He mention of writing? Okay. Adam and Musa alayhi salam. Allah has written for you the Torah, now. Oh, okay. Now.
In the hadith of Allah created the creation, He wrote in His book.
When Allah created the creation, He wrote in His book. Now, what did He write in His book?
My mercy?
Overcome? My wrath. Now. There's also one sifa that the Shaykh didn't mention in the question of sifat from the Qur'an, but he mentioned from the Sunnah. One sifa that we didn't mention in the sifat that are mentioned from the Qur'an. Huh? What is it? Naam, descending and nuzul. What is the hadith concerning this? Who knows the hadith concerning this? Or at least part of it. Part of it. What does it say about nuzul? Naam. Allah descends in the last third of the night. He descends to where? Samad dunya, naam. When there's one third in the last third of the night. And what does he say when he descends? Who will call upon me so that I may answer him? Who will ask me so that I may give him? Who will seek forgiveness from me so that I may forgive him? Naam. So these are some of the sifat that the Shaykh mentioned as examples of sifat al-fi'liyah. Characteristics. Or qualities or descriptions of Allah's actions from the Quran. And he mentioned similar sifat from the Sunnah, except from the Sunnah he mentioned, and nuzul, that Allah descends. So we know that Allah ascended, and Allah descends, and Allah will come, and Allah will grip the earth. And these are some of the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the Shaykh mentioned as examples. And there's one question, one extra question that we added. And that question is important, very important. In summary and quickly, inshallah, mention two matters that show the importance of seeking knowledge of the asma of Allah and His sifat. Mention two matters. Well, mention one of them, inshallah. Mention one of them. Mention one of them that show the importance of seeking the knowledge of the asma of Allah and His sifat. We mentioned one last week. And the week before we mentioned two. So give me one of them at least. In summary, what's the meaning of it? One of the important matters. This is important to us. Why is it important? Because this is a great motivation for each one of us, as well as we might pass on to others, to encourage people to learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To learn the tawheed of asma wa sifat. The Shaykh mentioned, number one point that he mentioned. Give me one, please, at least. He said that this... Naam, sorry? No, I thought you were getting ready to raise your hand. Taib. That this knowledge is the best, the most lofty, the most noble of all knowledge. The knowledge of Allah's names and sifat. Why? Because this knowledge, because the subject that it deals with, The nobility and the excellence of any knowledge is based on its subject. And what is the subject of Asma Allah wa Sifati? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. What knowledge could be more noble than this knowledge? There's no knowledge that's more noble than this. That's more lofty than this. That's more important than this. Therefore, this is one important reason why we should be studying this. Because it's the best knowledge that you can study. The knowledge of Allah's Asma wa Sifat. There's nothing that you can study that's more important than this. Now,
Sheikh also said that Allah created the heavens and the earth and subjected them to us so that we may know Him.
Allah created the heavens and the earth and subjected everything in them to us so that we may know Him and consequently worship Him. Now, and how will we know Him except by studying His Asma wa Sifat? This is the purpose for which we were created. To know Allah so that we will worship Him. So we'll know that He is the one who deserves to be worshipped. And what better way? There's no way for you to know Allah except by what He has revealed to us about Himself, from His names and His sifat, His characteristics, or descriptions, or qualities. And there was one other point that the Shaykh made. Now, Abdul Wakil. Naam. That the knowledge of the Asma of Allah and His Sifat encourage, invites, motivates a person to love Allah. Naam, if you know Allah's names and you know His qualities and characteristics, this invites a person to love Allah and to exalt Allah and to have hope in Allah and fear of Allah. And most importantly, to worship Allah alone, to do whatever you do for the sake of Allah alone, with ikhlas. Naam. And there's no need for the human being that's greater than this need. The need of what? The need to love Allah and to exalt Allah and to have hope and fear in Allah and to worship Him with ikhlas. There's no need that a human being has greater than this. And the only way that, and this is the greatest way to do it, to know Allah's names and His sifat. Now, these are the three points that we mentioned now.
I remember the Shaykh also, I think it was the last, I don't know if it was a point where he said that it's not proper for the Allah to know this
now.
And not study it.
Now.
And His favor upon
us. Now. It's not befitting of the abd who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given His favor to continuously, ongoing, to not know his Rabb and to turn away from this knowledge. That's not befitting of an abd, a Muslim, a mu'min. It's not befitting of any Muslim that he doesn't know Allah's names and sifat. And he turns away from that knowledge. He doesn't even care for it. This is unbefitting of a Muslim. Therefore, it's incumbent upon us to seek this knowledge. Naam. And this is the third point that the Sheikh Abdul Razak, the son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin, hafidhahumullah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them, that he has given us from another book. Tonight, inshallah, we'd like to go to the questions that are in front of us. And I would like to add to those important points of why we should be studying the names of Allah and His characteristics or qualities. I would like to add one more point, and that is, the Shaykh also said from the important reasons why we should take care in studying and seeking this knowledge. He said, أَنَّ أَحَدْ أَرْكَانَ الْإِيمَانَ السِّتَّةِ بَلْ أَفْضَلُهَا وَأَصْلُهَا الْإِيمَانِ بِاللَّهِ. That one of the six pillars of Iman, rather the most excellent of them, the best of them, the foundation of them, is Iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. And this, he said, this Iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not simply the person saying, آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ. It's not simply just to just say, I believe in Allah, without knowing, without the person having knowledge of his Rabb. Just saying, I believe, and you don't know. Who is it that you believe in? This is not the Iman that's a pillar, a rukn of the arkan of Iman. Just saying that you believe. Rather, how can a person claim Iman in Allah and they don't know Allah? The reality, haqiqatul Iman, أن يعرف ربه الذي يؤمن به ويبذل جهده في معرفة أسمائه وصفاته حتى يبلغ درجة اليقين. The reality of Iman, of this iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that the person knows his Rabb, the one that he believes in, and that he exerts himself in seeking the knowledge of his names and his sifat until he reaches the level of al-yaqeen, certainty. Yani seeking this knowledge until he has so much of it that he reached the level of above ilm, rather al-yaqeen. This is the haqiqat al-iman, the reality of iman in Allah. Yani that the person makes an effort, striving to know his Rabb by knowing his asma and his sifat until he reaches the level of yaqeen. And in accordance with the person's knowledge of his Rabb will be his iman. Yani his iman will be in accordance with his knowledge, in accordance with the knowledge that he has of his Rabb. So the more the knowledge that the person has, then his yaqeen and his iman will be like that. So the more the person knows the asma of Allah and the sifat of Allah, the more he will come to know his Rabb. By what? By knowing his asma and his sifat. And the more will increase his iman. The more he knows his Rabb, the more his iman in him will increase. And likewise the opposite. The less the person has of knowledge of Allah's asma wa sifat, the less will be his knowledge of Allah and the less will be his iman. And for this reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran in Surah Al-Fatir, 35th Surah, 28th Ayah, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. That verily, these and only these, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهُ. These and only these are the people who have khashya of Allah, fear of Allah. This who? From the servants of Allah? Those who have khashya are the ulama, the people who have knowledge. Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, he said in his tafsir of this ayat, what is the meaning of this? That only those who verily those and only these people who have khashya of Allah are the ulama. It means those who will fear Allah haqqa khashyatihi, the way that he's supposed to be feared. Huh? Are the ulama, those who know their Rabb. And this is because, as much as the person has knowledge of Al-Azim, Allah Al-Azim, Al-Qadir, Al-Alim, Al-Mawsuf bi Sifat Al-Kamal, Al-Man'ut bi Asma Al-Husna. Yani to the extent that a person has knowledge about Allah Al-Azim, Al-Qadir, Al-Alim, the more that a person has this knowledge, the one who is described with the characteristics of perfection, who is characterized by the Al-Asma Al-Husna, the beautiful names, the more that a person has knowledge of this, the more complete and perfect will be that person's knowledge of Allah Himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the more will be his khashya of Allah. It will be greater and it will be more. Yani the more the person has knowledge of Allah's asma wa sifat, the greater will be that person's fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says that one of the salaf, he has collected this meaning in a very brief expression. And he said, مَنْ كَانَ بِاللَّهِ أَعْرَفُ كَانَ لَهُ أَخْوَفُ. مَنْ كَانَ بِاللَّهِ أَعْرَفُ. Whoever is the most knowledgeable of Allah, will be the one who has the most fear of Allah. Fear of Allah being based on true knowledge. And there is no doubt that knowing Allah and knowing His asma, His beautiful names, and His sifat, His characteristics or qualities or descriptions that have been narrated in the book and the sunnah, that there is no doubt that knowing these names and sifat, the fruit of them for the servant is that it will bring forth many types of worship and acts of obedience, and the person seeking the means of nearness to Allah. And likewise, it will strengthen his fear of Allah and his muraqabah, yani his consciousness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. That Allah knows and Allah sees and Allah is aware. And it will also magnify that person's hope in Allah. And it will increase their iman and their yaqeen and their trust in their Rabb subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam, iman wa yaqeen wa thiqa wa khawf wa muraqabah. All of these are principles that a Muslim is in need of. Whoever can understand them, indeed they will be benefited tremendously. The question that we want to discuss tonight, question number 63. Where the Shaykh, rahimahullah, he says, هل يستقى من كل صفات الأفعال أسماء أم أسماء الله كلها توقيفية؟ Are names extracted or derived from every one of the sifat, the characteristics of Allah's actions? Are names extracted from each of Allah's actions, the characteristics of Allah's actions, the sifat of Allah's actions, are names derived or extracted from each of them? Or is it that all of the names of Allah are tawqifiyya? What do we mean by tawqifiyya? We mean what? That establishing or acknowledging or confirming a name for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is based upon and subject to it being confirmed by the Qur'an or the Sunnah. It stops there. It doesn't go any further after that. That's where it stops. Tawqifiyya means what? That it comes from revelation. That is based upon the Qur'an and Sunnah. It's not by somebody's ijtihad or their intellect or their reason or their feeling or their inclination or what they think. Rather, it has to come from the Qur'an and Sunnah. Are names of Allah derived from His actions, from His sifat al-af'al? Or must they be confirmed by the Qur'an and Sunnah? This is the question. And we know that we don't have a right to speak about Allah, to speak about Allah's deen, let alone to speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself, except that we have proof for it. We cannot make it up as we go along. The Shaykh says, لا بل أسماء الله تعالى كلها توقيفية. No, we cannot derive or extract names for Allah from His actions, from every action that Allah does, and say, well, based on that action, we can name Him with a name that relates to it, or that's based upon it, or derived from it. Rather, the names of Allah, all of them are tawqifiyya. Can only be derived from the Qur'an and Sunnah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not named except with that which He has named Himself with in His book, or that which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has applied to him. Any meaning in the authentic Sunnah. Allah is not named with any name except that name which He has named Himself with in the Qur'an, or which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has applied to him in the authentic Sunnah. And every action which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has applied to Himself, فَهُوَ فِي مَا أَطْلَقَ فِيهِ مَدْحٌ وَكَمَالٌ. Every action that Allah has applied to Himself, that He has described Himself with, then in that which Allah has applied, yani in the way that Allah has applied it to Himself, it is praise and it is perfection. Now, and if Allah has described Himself with any action, then it is intended to be praise of Him. And it is perfection. It indicates perfection. But not every action that Allah has described Himself with has He applied to Himself mutlaqan, yani in the absolute sense, unrestrictedly. Rather, some descriptions of Allah's actions that He has described Himself with, He has applied to Himself in a restricted manner, not in an unrestricted manner, not mutlaq, walakin muqayyid. He has given it in a certain, what? Context. And for this reason, the Shaykh, he says, for this reason, not every one of these actions can we extract or derive a name for Allah from it. Because some of them are within a context. They are not absolute, absolutely applied to Allah, but they are restricted. And therefore, they can only be applied to Allah in that restricted sense. He says that some of them, some of these descriptions that, of actions that Allah has applied to Himself, some of them, بَلْ مِنْهَا مَا وَصَفَ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ مُطْلَقًا. Some of them Allah has applied to Himself unrestrictedly, unrestrictedly. Like, as opposed to some, what? That He has applied to Himself in a restricted manner. But as far as those that He has applied to Himself unrestrictedly, He said, like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ ثُمَّ رَزَقَكُمْ ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ. In Surah Al-Rum, 30th Surah, 40th Ayah. That Allah, He is the one who has created you, and He has provided for you, and then He causes you to die, and then He will give you back life, and He bring you back to life, resurrect you. So the Shaykh says, وَسَمَّ نَفْسَهُ الْخَالِقَ الرَّازِقَ الْمُحْيِي الْمُمِيتَ الْمُدَبِّرَ. So Allah has named Himself the Creator, the Provider, the one who gives life, the one who gives death, and the one who, yani, arranges and controls all affairs. And here, let me just note, نعم أخي, 40th ayah. Let me just say here that we know already, because we have discussed this previously in passing more than one time, that there's difference of opinion amongst the scholars as to which names are really the names of Allah. Okay? And some scholars accept some name and they said this is from the names of Allah, and another scholar doesn't accept them. Okay? Like, for example, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, and his teacher, Shaykh Abdul Rahman Al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, neither of them in their list of names that they have compiled from the 99 names of Allah, that from the many names of Allah, they said these they think are the 99 names or whatever, neither one of them placed in their list Al-Muhyi or Al-Mumit. Neither one of them. But some scholars have. Okay, so the Shaykh is saying that based on this ayat, he's saying Allah has named Himself with these names. Al-Khaliq, Al-Razik, Al-Muhyi, Al-Mumit, Al-Mudabbir. So we are saying here, what? That there's difference of opinion about some of these names, and just keep that in mind. That's all I'm saying. Keep it in mind. That one scholar, he has a list that he says these are the names of Allah, another scholar has a different list. Maybe they may overlap mostly, but then he may come with some names that he didn't come with, and he may come with some names that he didn't come with, and they may differ on some names. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, his opinion according to his ijtihad, he said, according to his ijtihad, he said he didn't think Allah intended that from those special names of Allah, 99 that are special, من أحصاها دخل الجنة, he said he didn't think that Allah intended, that the Prophet ﷺ intended in that hadith, that he means names which are compound names. So he didn't include in his list, for example, Badiyya Samawati wal Ard. Though his sheikh, his teacher, included in his list a name like that. Okay, so there's difference of opinion about these matters. What is the point? Point is that the scholars differ about it, so we're just keeping that in mind. We're keeping that in mind. Whatever we confirm as the name of Allah, then it's upon us to research the matter and see what the scholars have written about it and see what are their proofs and evidences. And then we accept the best of what we have found according to the proof and evidence. Because we want to know what are the names of Allah. We want to know all of Allah's names, as many as we can know. We can't know all of them, but as many as we can know. Whatever He has revealed to the creatures, to the human beings, whatever came in the Quran, what came in the Sunnah, we want to know them. However many they are, more than 99. And of course, if we know as many as possible, hopefully within those that we know, there may be the 99. That whoever enumerates them, yani whoever identifies them, memorize them, learn their meanings, and live by them, act upon them, worship Allah by them, call on Allah by them, that person will enter the Jannah. Tayyib. So then the Shaykh says, okay, so from them are names that Allah has applied to Himself in the absolute unrestricted manner, mutlaqan. And then he said, and from them are actions which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has applied to Himself ala sabil al-jaza'i wal-muqabalati. Yani he didn't apply it to Himself unrestrictedly, but rather he applied it in the sense of what? In the manner of what? Ala sabil al-jaza'i wal-muqabala. Al-jaza means that the recompense, that somebody does something and Allah responds to him and gives him this based on what he has done. Person is a criminal, so Allah, he responds to them in a certain way, right? Person is a good person, Allah responds to them in a certain way. هَلْ جَزَى الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. Is there any reward for ihsan, for goodness, except goodness? Likewise, the one who does evil, what does he expect from it? We know what to expect from it. The kuffar, they don't care. But as for us, we know what to expect from it. When you do wrong, you can expect that there's going to be a response to that. And don't expect that good will come from evil. Naam. So there are some names or some actions that Allah has described Himself with, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the manner of what? As a reward. This action of Allah is a reward to the person who does a certain thing. Or muqabala, yani response, meeting. What he has come with, Allah comes with, meets it with something that's fitting and appropriate and suitable for what that person has come with. They plan and Allah plans. Huh? So, like this, okay? Allah comes back with that which they bring. He meets them with that which they bring. وَهِيَ فِي مَا سِيقَتْ لَهُ مَدْحٌ وَكَمَالٌ. And in the context that these actions have been, Allah has described Himself with these actions. The context that He describes Himself with these actions in that context, it is مَدْحٌ وَكَمَالٌ. It is praiseworthy and it is perfection. In that context. But if you take it out of its context, then it may not indicate a praiseworthy characteristic or a characteristic of perfection. In that case, it could not be applicable to Allah. And this is like the saying of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ. That they seek to deceive Allah, and He deceives them. Yani in the end, right? They seek to deceive Allah, but in the end, on Yawmul Qiyamah, it will become clear who has been deceived. Who will be the loser? They seek to deceive Allah. But can they deceive Allah? They can deceive you and me maybe. But they cannot deceive Allah. So Allah, He meets them with that which they came with. They seek to deceive Allah, so they become deceived. That's their jaza, that's their reward. And that's the muqabala. Meaning, like with like. And the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَكَرُوا. And that, by the way, that ayah is in Surah An-Nisa, fourth surah. 142nd ayat. 4:142. And the next ayat the Shaykh mentions is وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ مَاكَرِينَ. That they plot and plan, and Allah plans, and Allah is the best of al-makirin. He is the best of those who plan. So Allah, He rewards them by meeting that which they came with the like of it. And overcomes them with it. And this is in Surah to Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 54th Ayat. And then finally he mentions the saying of Allah in Surah to Tawbah, 9th Surah, 67th Ayat. نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَنَسِيَهُمْ. They forgot Allah, therefore Allah forgot them. They forgot Allah. I mean, they didn't completely, we don't forget Allah, right? But it's as though we forget Allah when we disobey Him. So they forgot Allah. They forgot about Allah. They didn't care. So Allah forgot them. Allah doesn't forget. But in this context, they forgot Allah. They abandoned Allah's commands and prohibitions. So Allah forgot them. With whatever they were in need of, they will not get it. Rather, they will get something else. And Allah save us from that. So, Allah has applied some descriptions of His actions in a limited, restricted sense. عَلَى السَّبِيلَ الْجَزَاءُ وَالْمُقَابَلَةِ. Yani, as a reward for those who do certain things, and meeting like with like. وَلَكِنْ لَا يَجُوزْ إِطْلَاقُهَا عَلَى اللَّهِ فِي غَيْرِ مَا سِيقَتْ فِيهِ مِنَ الْآيَاتِ. So Allah has applied these descriptions of His actions in a limited context. And therefore it's not permissible to apply it to Allah in other than the context in which it came in those ayats. Only in that context can it be applied to Allah. That Allah deceives, or Allah plans, or Allah forgot. Only in the context that it came in the ayah can it be applied. Otherwise, these kind of descriptions, we don't describe Allah with them. This is a different kind of description than the first type, which Allah has applied to Himself mutlaqan, unrestrictedly. So it is not said that Allah the Most High يَمْكُرْ وَيُخَادِعْ وَيَسْتَحْزِي وَنَحْوَ ذَلِكَ. Yani these kind of actions, we don't just apply them unrestricted to Allah. Say Allah plots, and Allah deceives, and Allah makes mockery, and that which is similar to this, of actions. وَكَذَلِكَ لَا يُقَالْ مَاكِرٌ مُخَادِعٌ مُسْتَهْزِعٌ. Yani we don't say, apply names to Allah either like this, and say that this is Allah's name, Makir, one who plots. Allah's name is Mukhadi', the one who deceives. Allah is Mustahzi', yani one who makes mockery. As a name, we don't apply it to Allah. Not as an action, unrestrictedly, nor as a name. We don't give Allah such names. And he says, وَلَا يَقُولُهُ مُسْلِمٌ وَلَا عَقِلٌ. No Muslim would say such a thing. Not even aqil, a person who has intellect. Yani a sane person. Not even a sane person, kafir, would say such a thing. That's what he said. And there might be some kafirs that have some sense. And they are careful, but they don't just say anything. And then the other kafirs, they just say anything. But they're all kafirs. And if they die on kufr, the matter is decided. And this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has not described Himself with makr or khida'a as plotting or deception, except in the manner of rewarding those who do those actions without a right to do it. And it is well known that rewarding these types of actions of deceiving or plotting or whatever, rewarding these types of actions bil-adl, justly, is a good thing from the created beings. So therefore, what about if it is from Al-Khallaq, Al-Alim, Al-Adil, Al-Hakim? And if a person deceives somebody and the person responds to them in like, with justice, not going beyond the bounds or transgressing the limits, but giving them back what they came with, if the human being does that justly, this is considered a good thing. So what about if it comes from Al-Khallaq, the Creator, Al-Alim, the All-Knowing, Al-Adil, the one who is just, Al-Hakim, the one who is wise. And think, the Shaykh, how did he choose these names? Al-Khallaq, the one who is the creator of everything. Now, Al-Alim, the one who knows everything, who has perfect knowledge. Al-Adil, the one who is just. Al-Hakim, the one who, what? His hikmah is such that he places everything in its proper place. So what about from him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, you know, we'll stop here with this question, okay? I mean, on this point. There are some points that perhaps we could mention here, but for the sake of time, we'll suffice with this. That the Shaykh asked the question, can we derive or extract names from every action that Allah is described with? Or are all of Allah's names tawqifiyah? And the answer is, what? That all of Allah's names are tawqifiyah. That they have to be rooted in, confirmed, based upon what came to us in the Quran and authentic sunnah. And then the Shaykh goes on to explain what? That the actions that Allah has described Himself with are of two types. One type of action that He applies to Himself, mutlaqan, unrestrictedly. And the other type is the one that He applies to Himself in a restricted manner, in a specific yani way. And those should be limited, and they should not be applied to Allah except in the way that they have been applied to Allah in the Quran or in the Sunnah. As far as the others that Allah has applied to Himself unrestrictedly, then they may be applied to Allah unrestrictedly. But as far as names, the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are not derived from His actions. They are not derived from His actions. Okay, the basic principle here, in brief, and it requires a lengthy discussion, the basic principle here is that every name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we talked about it before, from it we can derive, right, by tadammun, we can derive what? A sifa, characteristic of Allah that is enclosed or included in that name. But not every sifa can we derive a name from it. And with actions, we do not derive names of Allah from His actions, in the same way we don't derive names of Allah from His sifat. But we can derive sifat of Allah from His actions. Meaning we can say that from Allah's actions, we can know that there's a description of Allah that we can apply to Him. Naam. Like we can say from Allah's actions, yanzilu rabbuna, that He descends. So we can say that from His sifat, that's an action. From His sifat is an-nuzul, that He descends. Naam. That Allah ya'ati, that He will come. So we can say that from His sifat is al-ityan, that He comes. Naam. From His actions we can derive a sifa, but we cannot derive a name from His actions. In the same way that we don't derive His names from His sifat, His characteristics or qualities. And this again, perhaps at another time we'll go into further detail, but for the sake of completing this discussion here, and going to the next question, we're going to leave it with that, okay? As far as the next question, the Shaykh says, question 64. ماذا يتضمن اسمه الأعلى وما في معناه كالظاهر والقاهر والمتعالي؟ يعني what is understood? ماذا يتضمن? What is understood or what is included or what is derived or implied by His name الأعلى, by Allah's name الأعلى, and by names which have the same meaning, like a vahir, or similar meaning, like a vahir, the one who is uppermost, manifest, al-qahir, the subduer, the one who has supremacy and dominance over everything, al-muta'ali, the one who is most high, exalted, lofty. What? ماذا يتضمن اسمه الأعلى, and other similar names. What does it contain within it? Yani which? Any sifa can we derive from it? And remember we said before that the names of Allah has three types of dalala, indications, right? One of them is by what? Mutabaqah. And another one is tadammun. And another one is iltizam. We talked about this a few weeks ago. So from amongst them is tadammun. Tadammun means that the name of Allah contains within it, it implies and it includes within it a sifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we said that tadamman also, tadamman specifically, this type of dalala, indication, it's divided into divisions, right? We said one division is the name Allah. And we said that it implies or contains within it the meanings of all the other names of Allah. And we said that some names, also another division, are those names which imply or include within it a sifa of Allah's that, of His divine being. That He is high, that He is lofty, for example. Or that He is powerful. Or that He is knowledgeable, that He is all-knowing. These are sifat of Allah's that are inseparable from Him. And another type of tadamman, right, is a name that indicates one of Allah's, a sifa of His af'al, of His actions. That indicate His actions, like creating or providing and so on. And another type is the type which indicates the acknowledgement that Allah is free from imperfection. Like the names the Shaykh mentioned, what? As-Salam, Al-Quddus. He mentioned those. That these names indicate what? That Allah is free from all imperfections. Rather, we confirm for Him perfection in every area. Okay, so we said Tadamman, there's different divisions of it. So one division of Tadamman is what? That it indicates a point to include within it one of Allah's sifat, of His that, or of His af'al. Now, the Shaykh here is talking about the sifat al-dhatiyya, the sifat of Allah's that. This name al-a'la, and the names that are similar to it, al-a'la, al-ali, al-muta'ali, al-qahir, al-zahir, that these names contain within them, or include within them, by tadammun, a sifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's that. And what is that sifa? Who read already the question? What is the sifa? Al-ulu. 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 Allah's loftiness, His highness, that He is high, He's lofty. Naam. So here the Shaykh, he says to us in this question, so what does His name Al-A'la and other similar names like Al-Zahir Al-Qahir Al-Muta'ali contain within by means of tadamman? He said, this name Al-Ali Al-A'la, it contains by tadamman and includes within it or implies the sifa which is extracted from it, and that is Thubut al-Ulu, the confirmation, the affirmation of al-Ulu, of highness, loftiness, sublimity, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is high, He's lofty, He's sublime. بِجَمِيْءِ مَعَانِيهِ Yani, this character, this sifa of al-Ulu, with all of its meanings, all of its meanings. And the Shaykh goes on to explain what are its meanings. And he mentions three things. Ulu, fawqiyatihi. Yani his highness is being high, fawq, above, being above everything. Wa ulu qahrihi. Yani his what? Being the one who is dominating over everything. Qahrihi. His authority, his power over everything. His dominance over everything. And ulu sha'nihi. Ulu sha'nihi means, as some of the other scholars mention it, ulu qadr, wal manzila, wal makana, yani his rank, or his status, or his station, his high station, his status, his worth, his value. Allah's rank being very high. These are the three meanings that he mentioned for al-ulu. Ulu fawqiyatihi. And Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'adi said, he means by this, or he described it in a different way, he said, ulu الذات. Ulu fawqiyatihi means ulu الذات, the highness of his divine being. Allah's person, his self, his essence. The highness of Allah's that. So he says, ulu fawqiyatihi ta'ala ala arshihi. Allah's highness being high on his throne. Alin. Ala jami khalqihi, yani high, alin, over all of his creatures, ba'in minhum, yani completely separate from his created beings, from the creation. Allah is high above all of his created beings, and he's completely separate. He's not attached to, he's not a part of, he's not within the creation. As some of the people who deviated and went out of Islam said, that Allah is everywhere, Allah is in everything. No, Allah is high above the creation, ba'in, completely distinct, separate from them. Raqibun alayhim, watching over them, yani observing, seeing everything. Ya'lamu mahum alayhi, and he knows what they are upon, meaning he knows what we are doing, what we are saying, what we are thinking, everything that is happening. Qada hata bikulli shayin ilma, he has encompassed everything within his knowledge. لا يخفى عليه منهم خافية. There is nothing, even the finest of matters. خفي, the hidden thing that is indetectable from our secrets or whatever. None of it is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is ulu fawqiyatihi or ulu al-dhat. Yani that Allah is high, above, distinct, separate from His creation, but at the same time, He knows and He sees and He's aware and He's watching everything that is going on. This is one of the meanings of al-ulu here. The second meaning of al-ulu, ulu qahrihi. Naam. He says, فَلَا يُغَالِبْ فَلَا مُغَالِبَ لَهُ وَلَا مُنَازِعَ وَلَا مُضَادَ وَلَا مُمَانِعَ That there is no one who can overcome him. And there is no one who can يعني contest or contend with him. And there's no one who can oppose him. And there's no one who can prohibit him or prevent him from whatever he wills to do. This is what? Ulu al-qahr. That he is the dominating force. Al-qahir, al-qahhar. As Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'adi said. Al-qahhar, al-qahir. These are from the names of Allah that he said. The one who dominates over everything. Who has supremacy, authority, power. He is the one who subdues everything. This is ulu al-qahr. Rather, everything is submissive to his azama, and everything is subjected to his izzah, and everything is humble to his kibriya, and his greatness or magnificence, his might, and his power, his greatness, power. Naam. Everything is in submission and subjected and humble to him. Tahta tasarrufihi. Everything is subject to his disposal. He does with it what he wills. To his disposal and his power. لا خروج من قبضته, and there's no escape from his grip or his grasp. Everything is under his control. This is ulu qahrihi, that he dominates over everything and everything is submission to him. And finally, he says the third meaning is ulu sha'nihi. And as I said, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, he called it ulu al-qadr wa-sifat. Ulu al-qadr wa-sifat. And that means his status or his rank. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we mentioned earlier, مَا قَدْرُ اللَّهِ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. They didn't give Allah his just estimation that is due to him. They didn't see Allah as how great he really is, how magnificent he is. They didn't see Allah's greatness and his value. And this, أُلُو شَأْنِهِ, it means that his rank, his status, his station is so high, it is the most high. There's no rank higher than his rank. His station or his status or his rank, his place is the highest. And that is why? Because of his sifat. Because of his sifat of perfection. So the Shaykh, he says, ulu sha'nihi. So all of the sifat of kamal, the characteristics of perfection, belong to him and are confirmed for him. And all of the characteristics, naqais, yani of defect or imperfection or shortcoming, are negated from him. Yani all of the sifat of kamal are affirmed for him. And all of the sifat of naqs, of imperfection or incompleteness or defectiveness or shortcoming, are negated from him. Azza wa Jalla wa Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The Mighty, the Majestic, the Blessed, the Most High. Naam. This is ulu sha'nihi. Ulu al-qadr, al-manzila, al-makana. Allah's high, lofty rank or position or station or status. And then the Shaykh closes this question by saying, وَجَمِيعُ هَذِهِ الْمَعَانِي لِلْعُلُو مُتَلَازِمَةً لَا يَنْفَقْ مَعْنَ مِنْهَا عَنَ الْآخَرِ. That all of these meanings for al-ulu, for highness or loftiness, are mutalazima. Meaning, mutalazima, inseparable. They all stick to one another. They are inseparable. No one of them can be separated from the other. Meaning, we can't affirm for Allah ulu al-dhat and not affirm for Him ulu al-qadr, ulu al-sha'n. Ulu al-qahr. We can't affirm one and deny another. Rather, they are inseparable and all of them are confirmed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inseparable from Him. Naam. I want to read just quickly a few notes, and we're going to start with this question, but I want to read a few notes from what Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di says in his tafsir of the Qur'an. In his explanation of the names of Allah, he mentions Al-Ali and Al-A'la. And these are related to this question. Al-Ali, Al-A'la, the high, the most high. The Shaykh, he says, in his explanation of this name, he says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي لَهُ الْعُلُوَ الْمُطْلَقُ مِنْ جَمِيعِ الْوُجُوهِ. That he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the one who owns, is described with, possess al-ulu al-mutlaq, absolute highness, unrestricted highness, min jami' al-wujuh, from every aspect or from every angle that you look at it. Al-ulu al-mutlaq, it belongs to Allah alone. And then he says, what does he mean by that? Ulu al-dhat, the highness of his divine being. Wa-ulu al-qadr wa-sifat, the highness of his yani status, or his position, or his rank, and his characteristics, or qualities. وَأُلُوْ الْقَهْرُ, and the highness of his dominance, his power, his authority over everything. This is al-ulu al-mutlaq. فَهُوَ الَّذِي عَلَى الْعَرْشِ اسْتَوَى وَعَلَى الْمُلْكِ احْتَوَى. Yani he is the one who has ascended above the arsh. And he is the one who encompasses the mulk, the sovereignty, the everything of the heavens and the earth. وجميع صفات العظمة والكبرياء والجلال والجمال وغاية الكمال اتصف وبجميع صفات العظمة والكبرياء والجلال والجمال وغاية الكمال اتصف وإليه فيها المنتهى. يعني that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is described with all of the sifat of al-azama, of magnificence or greatness, and al-kibriya, which means similar, يعني greatness or grandeur, wal-jalal, his majesty, wal-jamal, beauty, wa-ghayat al-kamal, and the highest, the height of perfection. All of these characteristics Allah is described with. And the utmost limit or the fulfillment of all of them belongs to Him alone. And then the Shaykh also mentioned in his description of the names of Allah, Al-Qahar, Al-Qahir, these two names. He said that Allah is the one who subdued everything. He is the one that Al-Makhluqat, everything that has been created, is humbled before Him. And all of it is in submission to His Izzah, His might, and His Quwwah, His strength, and Kamal Iqtidarihi, the perfection of His power. Yani everything is subject to His what? His Izzah, His Quwwah, and His Iqtidar. His Izzah, because what? He is Al-Aziz, the Mighty. His Quwwah, He is Al-Qawi, the Strong. And His Iqtidar, He is Al-Muqtadir. Al-Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Taymin, he said from the names of Allah is Al-Qadir, Al-Qadir, Al-Muqtadir. And all of these names indicate what? Allah's power, that He's all-powerful, all-capable to do whatever He wills. And then, yani, na'am, we'll stop with this. There's one other point that I wanted to make, inshallah, and then we will close. Yeah, I just wanted to mention here some sifat, and I refer you back to go back and read this. As we mentioned previously, from some of the sifat that the Shaykh hasn't mentioned in this book, we can look to other sources. And from amongst the best of sources, probably the best of them, one of the best of them certainly is Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. And the explanation of this book, and it has been explained by many scholars, but the explanation of this book, mashallah, alhamdulillah, somebody has translated the explanation of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, tremendous, tremendous, tremendous treasure. Treasure. Naam. Go back and read this. The explanation of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen for Al-Aqid al-Wasatiyah. And he brought many names and sifat in this book that are of benefit to us. Some that we have not mentioned. And also from amongst the books that have mentioned some of the sifat of Allah from the Quran and from the Sunnah is Lumat al-Itiqad by Al-Imam ibn Qudamah. And this also a tremendous book of great benefit, and it also has been explained by Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen with a good explanation, a brief explanation. And if somebody doesn't have the stamina and the patience to read 1,000 pages then of explanation of Aqidah Wasatiyah, then read just a few pages of Lumat al-Itiqad. And the Shaykh's explanation is brief in this book. And Al-Imam ibn Qudamah has given also some any examples of sifat of Allah from the Quran and from the Sunnah in this book, Lumat al-Itiqad, which was translated a long time ago. And the Shaykh's explanation is valuable. And from amongst the sifat that he mentions from the Quran, the wedge of Allah in Surah Al-Rahman, 27th ayat, the two hands of Allah, which we mentioned previously from Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th surah, 64th ayat, and that Allah is coming, وَجَعَ رَبُّكَ from Surah Al-Fajr. Surah Al-Fajr is what? 89th surah, I think, 22nd ayat. And the coming of Allah that we mentioned in this discussion already in Surah Al-Baqarah 2, ayat 210. And he mentioned, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْ that Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Him. That from Allah's sifat is being pleased. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ Allah was pleased with them, and they are pleased with Him. And this is from Allah's sifat, al-Ridha, that He's pleased with those who believe and do good deeds. Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 119th Ayat. وَيُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. Also from Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 54th Ayat, that Allah, He loves them and they love Him. This is from the characteristics of the people of goodness, the people of Iman and Taqwa, that Allah loves them and they love Him. So this is from Allah's actions, يُحِبُّهُمْ. And these actions indicate his sifa of al-mahabba. And he mentions, وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ from Surah Al-Fath, which I think is 48th Surah, 6th Ayat. غَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. And Allah was angry with them. And this is from Allah's sifat. From His actions, غَضِبَ, and from the actions we say we derive His sifat, right? Of غَضَب, that Allah becomes angry. And we don't name Allah al-Ghadib, or al-Muhib, or Radi, or anything like this. And also he mentioned from Surah Muhammad, 47th Surah, 28th Ayat, وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا أَسْخَطَ اللَّهِ. And they followed that which angered or enraged Allah. Now, from Allah's sifat, he becomes enraged. And finally he mentioned, كَرِهَ اللَّهُ إِنْبِعَثَهُمْ. كَرِهَ, يعني that Allah dislikes, or Allah hates something. From Surah Tawbah, 9th Surah, 46th Ayat. And then he mentioned from the Sunnah some other sifat, but for the sake of time we'll stop here. So I encourage you to go back to Lumat al-Itiqad by Al-Imam Ibn Qudama. The explanation of Shaykh Al-Imam Muhammad Ibn Salih Uthaymeen, and if you have the stamina to read something lengthy, then go back to Al-Aqidah al-Wasitiyah by Shaykh Al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, explanation of Al-Imam Muhammad Ibn Salih Uthaymeen, rahimahumullah. And inshallah you'll find a tremendous, great benefit. And from the benefits that hopefully we'll bring to the class in the future, if Allah allows, from Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, is his comments on these sifat, when he explains them, and the ayats and the hadith that Shaykh Al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, reference to them. A lot of times he mentioned the benefits that come from believing in these sifat. And from the most important of those benefits is how does it affect the person's behavior. And we always try to mention these things, but we want to bring some of them together and mention them as a subject. That is, that if you know, for example, that Allah sees everything, then how does that affect your behavior? The believer who knows that Allah sees everything will never allow themselves to be found in a place where they will be seen by Allah in a place that's displeasing to Him. If you know that Allah is as-sami', that His hearing is of everything, the believer will never allow themselves to be found saying, speaking those things that Allah will not be pleased to hear. And so on. And as we mentioned last week, if we believe, and we do believe, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the sama' dunya kulla laylatin, every single night in the year, when the last third of the night remains, and he says, who will call on me so that I may answer him? Who will ask me so that I may give him? Who will seek forgiveness of me so that I may forgive him? The believer who knows that. Some people don't know that. Some people don't know that the Prophet ﷺ said this. But the person who knows that, that has to affect your behavior. That has to affect your behavior. That has to make you go to sleep early, so you can get up in the last third of the night and pray to your Lord. Make 2 rak'ah, or 4 rak'ah, or 6 rak'ah, and close it with witr, and pray and make dua to your Lord. That has to change your behavior, if you believe that. And this is one of the great points that the Shaykh has given to us in his explanation of Aqidah Wasatiyah. He's given us many benefits of these asma wa sifat that Shaykh Al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentions, or these sifat that Shaykh Al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentions, and those ayats and those hadith. And he mentions to us, he brings out to us, how are we supposed to act with this? May Allah grant us the tawfiq to act upon what we learn, and not to take it as information to be compiled. Not to take it as information to be compiled. That we show off, that I know this and I know that. Or that we beat people with, when we want to abuse them, and then we use this knowledge to abuse people with, or to belittle people with, or to humiliate people with. But rather, let's take this knowledge to act upon it, to get nearer to our Lord, and to prepare ourselves, to send ahead for ourselves that which will be in our favor. On the day when the one who is completely aware of all that we say and do, and even what we think, when he will call us to account. When he will call us to account. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. O you who believe, observe taqwa of Allah, and let every soul look to what it has sent ahead for tomorrow. Yani, take account of yourself and see what it is that you have sent ahead for tomorrow. And observe taqwa of Allah and know that indeed Allah is khabir. He is fully aware of all that you do. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.